In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst. In the gospel, or the gospel message, which we, just to explain to you, you know, our Lord Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, and of course, this is part of the gospel message, innocent, and we know that during Holy Week, we celebrate his death on the cross, and that he died on the cross, it is said, for our sins, that he took the penalty, Paul says, that he bore the sins of the world. And that in doing so, he enabled our sins to be cleansed away from us, each one of us. And the language that Paul uses is of him taking on a debt in much of his epistles. Now, the debt that was paid was unbelievable. Let's think about this with our Lord. Our Lord was completely innocent in his soul. We could even say childlike. So he wasn't punished for his own sins. But we know that he was falsely accused, and eventually out of the envy of the people, the neglect of the Gentiles, and the general carelessness, he was crucified. And some might remark that his suffering was very quick, that yes, he died on the cross for us, but he wasn't on the cross very long. But in the patristic tradition, it's known that Jesus' soul was sensitive. Sensitive in the sense that maybe you and I, who are adults, have lived lives where we've sinned, where we've hardened our heart, where we have memory of things that we've done that have sullied our soul, have made us less sensitive to ourselves and others. If you can think of the difference between interacting with a little child and a hardened criminal, more of us are towards, in our souls, are more towards the hardened criminal side of things. So our Lord's sensitivity in taking on the sins of the world is to say that he experienced the pain that we can't understand. He experienced something that was completely outside of creation, that was unnatural to him, unnatural in every way. You know, oftentimes when we experience pain, it's well deserved. It's not that far out of our lifestyle because we've participated in this world in so many negative ways. But for our Lord, the debt he paid for us was impossible for us to imagine what he bore when we think about his soul. But he offered that again so that we could be cleansed of our sins. So that when we would be baptized into him, that we would die with him, and that we would rise with him, that our old man would be washed away, that we would be put on a new man that was fashioned after his image, and that to the ultimate goal that we follow him, that we follow him in all that he did and said, and ultimately who he was, that we would become sensitive, soft-hearted, and that in our following of him, we would also be like him who on the cross said, "Forgive them, they know not what they do." Because we shouldn't forget that aspect of it. Our Lord never turned any sort of wrath against his accusers. He never sarcastically challenged them. He never used his power or his words to fight those who would crucify him. But his main manifestation of power was to ask for their forgiveness, because they didn't know what they were doing, and because he wants us to know, as followers of him, that is how God works, that he wants us to forgive. In today's gospel, we see the parable of forgiveness, where one servant who has been forgiven much goes on and takes on another human being and throws them into prison because they haven't paid their debts. The gospel is self-explanatory. As followers of Christ, we have been, if we are Christian, if we are baptized in Christ, if we have ever gone to confession, we have been forgiven much. We have had someone who didn't deserve it take on our sins to cleanse us, not because we begged him to, as it says in the parable, but because he loved us so much that he couldn't bear to see us bound to sin, death, and the devil. Yes, Jesus Christ did what he did just out of simply pure love, even though he didn't even know us. So when we have people in our lives who also sin against us, we are called to emulate our Lord Jesus. And we emulate him by forgiving them. Now, this is where the rubber hits the road, and it is very hard for us. But the gospel is hard and very challenging, and to understand and follow our Lord is very challenging. We say in the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." But let's think of the cosmic reality of our sin. And you've heard me say some of this before. When we sin, it's as we've thrown a boulder into a lake, a still lake, and it creates a ripple. When people encounter our sin, when I sin against you, when you encounter my sin, and then you judge me and react against me and maybe go talk about me, you add a few more boulders into the lake, and the waters ripple, and they ripple. Each time we react to one another, each time we sin, and each time we compound the sin, because when someone does something to us in some way, we either claim our rights, as we are taught to do, or we judge or hate, or we even sometimes go out of our way to spite them back. These things stir the waves of the sea. And it's cosmic because it affects all of creation. Because all of these waves are what are upon us. I know that some of us are worried about Storm Dorian coming up the coast. It's a symbol, it's an image of the mess that we create in our own sinfulness, in our own reactions to each other. This devastation of these hurricanes is often like the devastation that we witness around the world in the lives of all sorts of people who, because of our sinfulness and our reactions to each other, have compounded things to the point, in some places and in some souls, the point of absolute devastation and disaster. That's what we do when we sin. That's even more so what we do when we react to those who sin against us and we try to hold them accountable within our own powers. When we forgive a person's sins, they throw the boulder into the water. But the water becomes like one of those fancy beds where you set a glass of wine and throw the bowling ball on it. The water doesn't ripple. When our Lord said it is finished, he stopped. When he was forgiving sins, he stopped the tragedy. It died with him. He nullified it. And in our individual lives, as the world as people, as individuals, as different entities and corporations sin against us. It does us no good to claim our rights. It does us no good to stir up the waves more. But in emulation of our Jesus Christ, and of course only accomplished by His grace, we ask for their forgiveness. We ask for their healing. We ask for their transformation. The truth is, none of us know what we're doing. And we're always sinning and reacting. And what the world needs is mercy. In the Beatitudes we just sung, we heard, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." If in any way you have ever experienced the forgiveness of our Lord Jesus Christ, if in any way you have felt your sins washed away, a newness of life, you are, of course, asked to not sin. But beyond that, beyond simply not sinning, you're asked to be merciful to every person you encounter, because mercy has been given to you. So may God bless us to follow Him to the cross. May He bless us to stay on the cross with Him and not to get down and pour out our wrath. And may He bless us to put an end to the ripples and the waves of the sea that are caused cosmically when we compound each other's sins by judging, hating, and reacting to one another. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst. He is in our midst.